Let's read together the first three verses of the book of Jonah. Now, in these opening verses, we see the prophet Jonah commissioned by the Lord to go to Nineveh and preach against the wickedness of that great city. But Jonah disobeys and goes in the opposite direction. Jonah chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Let's begin our study of the book of Jonah with some background notes. What do you remember most about the story of Jonah? Probably that Jonah was the man who was swallowed by the big fish, right? Well, Jonah is more than just a big fish story. It's the true account of a prophet of God who was called to go and preach to the city of Nineveh, the capital of the ancient Assyrian Empire. But Jonah did not want to go and preach to the people of Nineveh. And he tried to flee from the Lord by running in the opposite direction. But God graciously disciplined his servant Jonah and brought him back by special transport, real special transport, the big fish. And God brought him back and he recommissioned Jonah. So Jonah finally went and preached to Nineveh, and one of the greatest spiritual awakenings in the history of mankind took place, probably the greatest. The city of Nineveh repented from the king right on down to the least of the people. And God withheld his judgment of this great city because they repented of their wickedness. Now, because of the miracle of Jonah's special transport through the Mediterranean Sea, namely in the stomach of a fish, many people have a hard time accepting the historicity of the story of Jonah. So they conclude that maybe the story of Jonah in the Old Testament is an Old Testament parable designed to teach us some moral and spiritual lessons. Well, the story of Jonah certainly has a lot of moral and spiritual lessons to teach us, all right. But it's a true story at the same time. Jonah is not written in Hebrew poetry, which we should expect if Jonah was an Old Testament parable. No, Jonah, unlike the other minor prophets, writes mostly in prose, because it's real history. Verse 1 says that Jonah was the son of Amittai. He was a real person, not just the character of an Old Testament parable. The Lord Jesus believed that the account of Jonah was real history. Read Matthew 12 and Luke 11 in this connection. In 2 Kings chapter 14 and verse 25, we read about the prophet Jonah. He lived in the northern kingdom of Israel around the time of King Jeroboam II. 2 Kings 14:25. He, that is King Jeroboam II, restored the territory of Israel from the entrance of Hamath to the Sea of the Arabah, according to the word of the Lord God of Israel, which he had spoken through his servant Jonah, the son of Amittai, the prophet who was from Gath-Hepher. Gath-Hepher was located in the northern kingdom of Israel, not too far from the Sea of Galilee. So Jonah is a real person, and the story of Jonah is a true story. It's real history, including the miracle of the whale or the big fish swallowing Jonah. The Hebrew word there could include a whale or a big fish, or we'll talk more about that when we get to the actual swallowing. So we could say that the story of Jonah being swallowed alive by the big fish is not an imaginary whale of a tale. No, but rather the true tale of a whale. I'll run that by one more time. It is a little joke there, folks. All right. The story of Jonah, right? It's a true story. It's not an imaginary whale of a tale, but rather the true tale of a whale. Well, a lot more we could say for background. Let's move now to our doctrinal teaching points. In other words, what is God's word teaching us here? Doctrinal point number one, God calls his people to go to Nineveh. God calls his people to go to Nineveh. Verses 1 and 2. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. God called Jonah to go to Nineveh and preach out against the wickedness. God knew about the wickedness of Nineveh. God knows about all wickedness. It is not hidden from God. But Jonah did not want to go to Nineveh. Jonah did not want the job. Why? Was he scared? Well, maybe. Preaching out against the wickedness of Nineveh was not as easy as preaching in a church on Sunday morning, where most of the people are believers. I mean, suppose the Lord called you to go stand on a street corner in Chicago and preach out against the wickedness of the city. Would you be scared? I think I'd be a little scared. And remember, the Assyrians were known for their cruelty in the ancient world. We have inscriptions and even some pictures, inscribed pictures from the ruins of Nineveh, showing the Assyrians in a time of war impaling their victims on poles and even skinning them alive. So maybe one reason why Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh was because he was scared. However, I think the main reason why Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh was because he was patriotic. The Assyrians were pagans and the enemies of Israel. They were the major world power at that time. We even have an inscribed picture of King Jehu of Israel paying tribute to an Assyrian king. And it would be the Assyrians who would eventually conquer the northern kingdom of Israel. Read about that in 2 Kings chapter 17. So Jonah did not want to go to Nineveh. He knew that God was gracious and might spare Nineveh if the people repented. And that's exactly what Jonah says over here in chapter 4 when God did spare Nineveh. I'm reading Jonah chapter 4, verse 2. Therefore, I fled previously to Tarshish. This is Jonah speaking to the Lord. Therefore, I fled previously to Tarshish, for I know that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm. Jonah did not want mercy shown to Nineveh. Now, do you see the teaching for us here? God calls his people to go to Nineveh. Ninevehs are the places and people we are afraid of. Ninevehs are the places and people we would like to see get zapped and undergo the judgment of God. We don't like to go to Nineveh. But our enemies are not God's enemies. God loves all people. And he calls us to go to Nineveh. Let me ask you, is there a Nineveh out there that you are afraid of? You know, when I was in college, I was part of the InterVarsity Christian Fellowship on campus. I was chosen to go to one of the largest fraternity houses on this secular campus and give a testimony. Well, let me tell you, I was scared. I didn't want to go. This was a Nineveh for me. I really wanted to run the other way, especially when I saw all these unbelieving students waiting to attack the Christian faith. Well, God graciously helped me to go to that Nineveh, and he will help you too, to go to the Ninevehs you're afraid of. Maybe there's a Nineveh that you don't want to go to because, like Jonah, you would rather it be damned. Maybe it's a person that's really done you wrong big time. Maybe it's a group of people where you work that have taken advantage of you. You can't stand them. You would like to see them judged by God himself. Maybe it's an atheistic foreign country that God is calling you to. What is your Nineveh? Like Jonah, we don't want to go and preach the gospel to Nineveh because they just might repent and believe and be forgiven and escape the judgment of God. We don't want that. But God calls his people to go to Nineveh. Doctrinal point number two. God's people disobey when they flee to Tarshish. God's people disobey when they flee to Tarshish. Verse 3. But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. We believe that Tarshish was somewhere in what is now southern Spain. And if you look at your Bible maps, it was in the opposite direction from going to Nineveh. That's the point. Jonah went in the opposite direction. Jonah was running away in disobedience. Let me ask you, have you ever run away to Tarshish? What about now? You know what the Lord wants you to do, but you have bought a ticket to Tarshish instead. Maybe the Lord wants you to forgive a brother or sister, but you don't want to, so you go to Tarshish. You put distance between yourself and the situation the Lord wants you to deal with. Maybe you even literally move away like Jonah. This is really disobedience, isn't it? That's what the Bible is teaching us here. God's people disobey when they flee to Tarshish. What about practical application from these first three verses of Jonah chapter 1? You can always find a ship going to Tarshish. You can always find a ship going to Tarshish. Verse 3 again. But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. How convenient. Why, thank you, Lord. This must be your will. Sound familiar? So he paid the fare. Hey, this was no small sum. He may have had to mortgage his house to get the money. But Jonah was on the run. Money was no object. So he paid the fare, and he went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. What a person will do to avoid the unpleasant situations the Lord asks us to face. Listen, if you don't want to obey the Lord, you can always find a ship going to Tarshish. Now let me ask you, who provides the ship going to Tarshish? Does Satan provide the ship, or does God provide the ship? What's the answer here anyway? Probably the best theological answer here would be that Satan provides the ship, but God allows it. I'm reading James chapter 1, verses 13 through 15. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. Jonah did not want to go to Nineveh. He desired to go in the opposite direction. This desire led to the sin of disobedience. In his disobedience, Jonah went down to Joppa on his own initiative and looked for a getaway ship. Satan and the world always have ships available for anywhere you want to go in disobedience to God. God allowed Jonah to find a ship going to Tarshish. That's where Jonah wanted to go. The Lord was not going to manipulate Jonah or force Jonah to obey. And the Lord will not force you to obey either. But don't think you can get all the way to Tarshish. The Lord has ways to get your attention and turn you around, as we'll see. But you can be sure, if you don't want to obey the Lord in some matter, it will be easy to turn away from fellowship with the Lord and disobey, because you can always find a ship going to Tarshish. Now, I trust there's no one here this morning that has bought a ticket to Tarshish. Remember, you can always find a ship going to Tarshish.